How will I know if I ever meet a Vaishnav? And Prabhupada said he would be a perfect gentleman. So these are the qualities of a perfect gentleman are in the Bhagavatam, the 26 qualities. So that's how you can tell someone that has godly qualities. Pushka.
Okay, so Hare Krishna. It's on, right?
I don't know.
No. Okay, so Panchadevita has a different name.
Hold it closer to your mouth.
Hare Bo. Well, he was saying how Prabhupada's humor is quite often subtle, but there is an occasion, and it had to do with him, Panchadevita, where it was probably the most uproarious thing that Prabhupada said on a tape ever was to him. So I don't know if he was downplaying it for that reason, but he was asking Prabhupada on a walk about the old Brahmin and the young Brahmin were walking, and so he was saying, well, why did the young Brahmin even want to get married? Brahmin shouldn't want to get married. This doesn't seem transcendental. So Prabhupada said, there's nothing wrong with marriage. If you hear this, I mean, I'm not making this up, but it's way funnier if you hear it. And then Prabhupada said, only you could not get married. You're too ugly. And everyone laughs. You probably heard it.
He told that story.
Everyone flips laughing as loud as you can imagine. Just insane. So Prabhupada could be, just to put a little balance on what he said.
Right. Very good. Any mothers?
I love the part of the woman who was talking.
Okay, project a little bit louder, please.
I love the part where the woman, she was accused of being lazy. Here she has three children, but somewhere other she was branded as being a lazy person and was so brokenhearted. Those are the words she used, that she was being viewed that way and that possibly Prabhupada was thinking of her that way. And then Prabhupada just asked her, are you reading my book? She said, yes, and he, you're pleasing me.
Therefore you're pleasing me.
So I thought that was so sweet and so...
Classic story.
Yes.
Can definitely take that to heart.
Okay. Yeah, hi, Bo. Thanks so much for coming.
And
blessing us with all your wonderful service.
Hare Bo.
I liked, what's your name?
Krishna Bhamani?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
When she was talking about children's book, oftentimes there's a discussion with younger children about the demons and the wars and all these really intense, scary things. So I just wonder if anywhere else you mentioned anything like that, because the Brahma Jyoti, how could they understand, but he made it so understandable. It's like shining like the sun. It's so wonderful. I just read this quote the other day from Einstein that said, you must always keep things, explain things as simple as possible, but no less. So I was thinking, do you know anything, any of your tapes where they talk about telling the stories to children with demons and this, all the scary things?
Well, I can just say that, I edited the Ramayana, and back in the day we shot it in New Vrindavan, and there are some pretty scary scenes in there, but I met a devotee when we went to France to do some more memories. And she said, oh, I recognize your voice, yes. She said, I watched that video 40, 50 times. And she was a young child. And she said, I loved it. I had to keep watching it all the time. Now I want my daughter to watch it, so I sent her a video, the DVD of that. So who knows what's scary, but Loka Mangala, he played a scary Ravana. I mean, but the proof is that the kids loved it. And it's still viewable today. So I'm not sure if that answers your question, but...
I was going to say, but one time, he came to our house for breakfast or lunch or something.
Who did? Loka Mangala?
Loka Mangala.
Uh-huh.
And my kids ran out of the house. They go, oh, no!
He wasn't in full makeup, was he?
No.
That's the potency of plays. Prabhupada loved plays.
That's a play.
He said plays bring his books to life. I actually performed a play for Prabhupada once too, in Denver, we performed the play of Pondraka, the demon Pondraka, who pretended, you know, playing. He thought he was Krishna, right? Four arms. And the Denver temple is more cavernous than this temple. The ceiling's really high, so the sound really echoes. Radha Damodar knows. You were there for that play? Yeah, so I was a demon, and I had been killed at this point just before Krishna actually shot an arrow and killed Pondraka. So I was laying down on the ground, but I had my eyes open slightly. I was watching Prabhupada. But prior to the actual play, we said we're going to have some fireworks here. So we had a cherry bomb that as soon as Krishna killed Pondraka, then we had a guy in the audience that lit this fire, this cherry bomb. Cherry bombs are very loud, and especially in this cavernous temple in Denver. And it, boom, I mean, really loud. No one was expecting it except us, the actors. And I was looking at Prabhupada, and Prabhupada jumped back in the Vyasasan. Startled, obviously, everyone was, but then he smiled. He loved the theatrics of it. And so we knew that we pleased him. Prabhupada loved plays. So, and even some of the, you know, who knows for sure, because I also edited the puppet shows that Burijan and his wife, you know, wrote and produced. And they were the voices, and Bhumadev also played the voice. And you would think, oh, a puppet show, these are great for children. Then I think I asked your dad, I said, have your kids seen some of the puppet shows? This was in Alachua a few years ago at the lawyers' conference in Gainesville, and at the luncheon. And your mother said, no, I don't show some of them because they get really scared. Because we have ominous music and, you know, ominous, you bring it to life. So it depends on the child, I think, really. Do you remember some of those puppet shows?
I remember when I was little, I used to be scared of the Ajamil.
Ajamil? And the Yamadutas?
Yeah, the Yamadutas were scary to me.
Yeah.
And I've watched all of them multiple times, and they're very interesting.
So you're over that now? You enjoy the puppet shows now? Oh, that's good. Hare Krishna.
The other thing that stood out was the Ravindra Swarup anecdote about the wars. Prabhupada saying that yes, you know, he asked if we should be taking part in politics and leading armies. Prabhupada said yes, and then he said these wars with the demons, they are useless. But if there is a war between the devotees and the demons, between the forces of good and the forces of evil, then that is very significant. That is good.
That's Krishna consciousness.
Yes, that's Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
That was
like,
very powerful.
You know, the battle.
I mean, there, you know, we can correlate that perhaps in some ways to today's situation.
Well, the Bhagavad Gita, there's no better example. Any other ladies? Lila Sukha? Speak loudly through your mask.
Hare Krishna, thank you so much for your incredible service and for coming here and showing these. So it might be an elephant in the room, or maybe not, but something that I really appreciate about your seva is that you're capturing history and setting records straight that over time and in different places get altered. And so one thing that stuck out to me was that one of the devotees very clearly stated that it's perfectly fine for women to pay dandavats.
Yes. Yeah. So you can throw that conspiracy out the window. There were 20 stories, so any other stories that come to mind? If not, then...
I really like the one about the... sannyasis are all sitting in chairs, and this one Mataji is behind them. And Prabhupada said, yeah, give her the seat.
Yeah. Yeah, and not a initiated devotee, but a soul in a woman's body. Etiquette. Perfect gentleman. Give her a seat. You mothers find that significant? Prabhupada was not a chauvinist. He cared for everybody.
You see Prabhupada often?
Loud. Can you speak louder? No?
You see Prabhupada often sometimes with a red eye. And the TSA.
Where's the better light? Speak into this one. It's a better one.
We were seeing Srila Prabhupada off at the airport, and I was just right behind him, and the TSA people were harassing me about my V-bag, thought it was a weapon, and Prabhupada just turned around and looked at the people, and he's like Muchukunda, who burnt Kaliavana to ashes, and it was just like a yogic power, and he said, just let him through.
And they stopped.
Yeah.
They stopped the rest.
Can you better please?
He said that in an airport, right, that he was harassed by some of the TSA people about the bead bag, maybe thinking that there's a gun in there. I don't know. They're not familiar with it, so they have no idea what's inside there. And Prabhupada saw that they were causing some disturbance to you and with the lack of knowledge about what a bead bag is. And then you were there, you saw Prabhupada give them a look as if like Muchukunda could burn them. And then they immediately shut up and stopped harassing. It's also like one time a devotee was driving for the first time in India, and he was driving Prabhupada in a big car. And Prabhupada said, go down this way. And he said, well, this is a one-way street, Prabhupada. He said, go, just drive. Say it again? Yes, I know. So they got to the end of the street and a policeman pulled them over. He said, what are you doing? This is a one-way street. I don't have a good Indian accent. But then he looked in the back seat and there was Srila Prabhupada. Maybe it was the front seat. But he saw there was Prabhupada in the car. And then the policeman said, oh, I'm sorry. Go on. So everyone can, and then also, Sikhi Mahiti, you know Sikhi Mahiti? He distributed books in the Chicago airport, and the Chicago airport police and the officials there were really heavy, and coming down on the devotees a lot. And but as soon as Prabhupada arrived in Chicago, these same policemen saw the purity of Prabhupada. And they were saying to the public, all right, get back, stand by, stand back. Let him come through. Their hearts changed. And then Sikhi Mahiti said that after Prabhupada came and left Chicago, he went back to distribute books in the airport again, O'Hare Airport, and all these policemen were mellowed out. No more hassles, he said, except for one of the policemen. And he said, 2 weeks later, he died. So, true story. Yadavar, any stories that you want to add? You got a lot of Prabhupada nectar.
Yeah, I just appreciate your service. And you said years ago that you were going to stop doing this service, but you couldn't.
I lied.
You just keep going and going. And the stories are unlimited. Just like that one Mataji was talking about in the lecture, I forget the story exactly. She was in the lecture and she felt Prabhupada was speaking directly to her. There was a lecture at the manor when Prabhupada visited there in 1977. The same thing happened, but when the boys came out of the lecture, they were talking amongst themselves. Prabhupada was looking at me. He was speaking to me. So Prabhupada was addressing everyone.
Right.
In that particular instance.
Yeah.
You're reminding me. That happened a lot.
Yeah. I mean, his purity is such that, I mean, he's not Krishna, but similarly with Krishna, played and danced with all the gopis and the gopas, and each one of them thought, he's not dancing with you, he's dancing with me, etc. So that effect is there, and you know, more than that one story for sure. It's a fact.
There's also quite a few stories in our following Srila Prabhupada DVD series of Prabhupada walking, like on a morning walk, and you could not see his footprints. Mm-hmm. There was one devotee was trailing behind Prabhupada, and he was looking closely. It was wet grass. Everybody else was, you know, imprinting on the wet grass. The Prabhupada wasn't, so he got down really, really close to see if this. he was amazed, and sure enough, another story like that. And you know, that's also reminds us of Maharaj Yudhisthira, who didn't touch the ground. Hare Krishna.
Jai, thank you. Mataji.
It was just reminding me of when Srila Prabhupada was at the manor the last time, because that was mentioned. And we were cleaning his rooms and things, but then he wasn't leaving anymore. So we were waiting outside for any information to come out. And one of the servants came out and said, Srila Prabhupada told me that he had a dream last night. And he said that Vishnu Dutas came to take me, and they were Caucasian.
That was Prabhupada's dream?
Yes.
Prabhupada said that he had a dream, and that
and they were Caucasian.
That is also another story that Pancha Dravida Swami, now Bhakti Janardhan Goswami, I forget his full name now, but he also was on a walk with Prabhupada in India, and he was commenting, he was like, you know, making a comment, oh, Srila Prabhupada, look at all these people, they're just degraded and they're falling down, talking about the Indian population. And Prabhupada said, that is because you brought the poison. That the influence from the British primarily influenced their culture that went from the Vedic culture to a capitalistic, materialistic type of society. Not that it came from India, but it came from the West. You brought the poison.
I was remembering that devotee that was talking about Srila Prabhupada's dry sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
So the first time I actually saw Srila Prabhupada in person, I'd been following and living in the temple for some time, but he came to Honolulu.
Uh-huh.
So I watched him come in the door, the temple room, go up and pay respects to the Panchatattva and come back. And the whole time I was watching him, I was just, what had occurred to me is he's not in time. The way we are. I'd never seen it before, but that's how it came to me, that he's not in time. And then he sat in the Vyasa Sana, and the very first thing he did was look at his watch.
Back in the day in Los Angeles, there was plays pretty regularly by the Vaikuntha Players.
Mm-hmm.
And they were an incredible gifted group of devotees for acting and dancing. And so when Prabhupada was visiting at one time, they performed the Cry of the She-Jackal, which was when Krishna had left the planet. And it was very dramatical and it was very expertly done. And when the play was over, Prabhupada had tears in his eyes, and he stood up, and he was, you know, giving a standing ovation, and he was clapping, and he said it was wonderful, and he said everyone was wonderful, and he says, and especially Maharaj Yudhisthira, and that was, I think, Mangalananda, that was his name, the one who was played Ram in the, he had passed away. Anyways, he was an amazing
actor. Oh, Lokamangala.
Lokamangala.
Mangananda's our singer.
Yes, that's right.
Our folk spiritual singer.
So anyways, Prabhupada was just praising everyone, and he loved the plays, and
yes.
He was just saying how they should come more often.
Thank you. in Mayapur, they also, with Sudama and the Vaikuntha players put on a play for Prabhupada, The Age of Kali. And besides, Sudama played Kali, but he had his cohorts, lust, anger, greed. And lust was played by Rasa Gya, brilliant actress, beautiful, beautiful lady, beautiful face, etc. And while the play was going on, and lust came out, and she was dressed to the nines and beautiful makeup, besides being a young, beautiful woman, all the sannyasis that were sitting around Prabhupada were, I'm staunch, you know, I'm not going to look at that form of the woman. And then Prabhupada afterwards, noticing that the sannyasis were acting like that. So no, wasn't, lust was very beautiful, wasn't she? And then Prabhupada explained that one in the material world, who is a pure devotee, can understand that all beauty comes from Krishna, sees everything in relationship with Krishna. And so one can look at a beautiful woman and realize that's Krishna's doing. Krishna created that beauty. Not that we lust after that, not that we try to be the proprietor, lord over that beauty, but it can be appreciated when it's in relationship with Krishna. And then similarly, when he was on the plane with Shrutakirti, getting off the plane, one time they, you know, the plane lands and then everyone gets up in the aisle getting their stuff ready to walk out. Right in front of Prabhupada on the way out was a beautiful woman from Italy. And there's Prabhupada right behind her, and then Shrutakirti's behind Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turns to Shrutakirti in a voice that anyone could hear, and he said, "She's very beautiful, isn't she?" And the lady from Italy, the beautiful woman from Italy, turned around to Prabhupada and said, "Oh, thank you." And Prabhupada said, "No, that wasn't a compliment. It's just a fact." Just a fact. F-A-C-T. And so that's the attitude of a pure devotee who sees the soul and doesn't see the body, but can appreciate the beauty that's there. Come on, Maharaj. Future sannyasi here in Alachua, Pran Govind. He knows so many verses. It's incredible. Such a nice devotee.
So I need a proper. So I was at an airport. I can't remember. I was
Hold on a sec. Let's turn all phones off, okay? Okay, project.
I was in an airport. And I was sitting in, you know, just one of the seats all lined up. And Prabhupada was where I could see him, right next to me.
Mm-hmm.
And what he was doing, he was twiddling his thumbs.
Okay, say that again. I couldn't hear you.
Prabhupada was twiddling his thumbs.
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 Twiddling his thumbs.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was such a striking contrast to who he is at this great acharya. And he's sitting there, just relaxed, twiddling his thumb.
Okay.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Now, speak up. Go ahead.
I was at Sankirtan, Bourbon Street, New Orleans, serving the Srila Prabhupada after 12 years of Bhavachari service, and a man comes up to me with a bag and a gun and shoots me twice in his stomach. And I lay in the gutter in Bourbon Street. What to do? And I remember what Prabhupada said. I was like, it's a time of death. Chant Hare Krishna. And so I chanted Hare Krishna as best I could, and immediately, like a bolt out of the blue, there was a convention of surgeons appeared on the scene, a convention of doctors.
They surrounded you.
Yeah, it was like the universal form of doctors after I chanted, and everything turned out okay.
Wow, mercy. And you only had to chant one time. Not three times. Once is sufficient.
when Prabhupada came to San Francisco, Berkeley in 72, we were distributing books and selling tickets to his two lectures. The first lecture he gave in Berkeley, there was a fanatical Christian who was saying, you have to believe in Jesus or you're going to burn in hell. And he was getting very heavy. And it was Keshava and Bhutatma. Keshava and Bhutatma. And where's the famous? The three of them, they were all really tough guys. They were like Duryodhan. I mean, they were like, not Duryodhan, but Dronacharya. They were fighting Brahmins. And I felt that if that person said one more thing, they would just kill them. And Prabhupada just drowned out the Krishna. He said, just chant Hare Krishna.
Say it again? Oh, very difficult. I'm not sure I realized it myself. But the point is, again, to the point of life is to chant Hare Krishna at the time of death, or Krishna. One name, sufficient. All right, thank you for coming and watching. Appreciate it. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His Grace Siddhanta Prabhu Ki Jai.